Blog Talk Radio.
About the qualities of church leadership, but you will find out the following, that when I talk about those qualities of church leadership, this is what you'll find out. You'll find out that I will essentially be talking about your calling. And the second thing you'll hear, you'll find that I will essentially be talking about the quality of pastoring.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it will be about pastoring, by the way. That's what you'll find out right now. That when I begin to talk about the quality of church leadership, I will essentially be talking about the quality of a pastor. You are a shepherd. You are part of the shepherdhood. You are part of the priesthood. It's not any less. You cannot stay at the fence anymore. Today is the day you must accept the truth and say, we as church leaders, actually we are being called to be pastors. We are not any different. Hallelujah. You are going to find out that the Lord is talking about your calling. And the Lord is going to be talking about pastoral. So I'm not going to say elder. No. Because the elders are pastors, you are going to find out. Because you are going to find out that the qualities the Lord demand of elders are the qualities of the pastors. They are the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, let me begin here. So, there are a few scriptures. For example, Joshua chapter 4, Judges chapter 4, and Titus chapter 1. I'm not going to read them. I'm just mentioning, those are references you can read at home. The book of Joshua chapter 4. Look at the qualities the Lord put in Joshua. You understand? Because there was need for somebody to quickly stand in. But not only that, Joshua was also part of leadership. He was part of church leadership. He was part of the leadership of the house of Jehovah. They are the qualities of your calling. The qualities of pastoral. The qualities of salvation. You understand? So can I go through them now? What the Lord demands for you to be a church leader, like you, to be in the leadership of church. Number one, he says the following. That leader must have, number one, a fierce, a fierce biblical faithfulness. But if you are looking at that, if you are looking at that first point, there are a few things to pick out. Number one, you find that fierce, and then biblical, meaning Bible-centered. Fierce, biblical, and then faithfulness. He's raising three major issues right there, which are so key. And if you take only the first point I've given you, and you incorporate that into your life as a church leader. And you know the biggest problem we have today in the country, the biggest problem we have today worldwide, the biggest problem we have today in the body of Christ is lack of church leadership. Church does not have leadership right now. That's why I'm going all over the globe. Talk about reformation. Talk about renovation, rehabilitation, revival, resuscitation, resurrection of church leadership. And so, I'm saying, even if you are to take only three of these first points and the three aspects raised from this first point, then you can never go wrong as a church leader. That's why, you see, you begin to understand the fall in the church leadership we are seeing now in the body of Christ globally is out of the fact that they have not embraced number one. Number one raises the fundamentals. Number one alone is enough for me to be a good church leader. He says, fear, meaning without favor, with impartiality, without fear, courageous in other words. And then he says, Biblical, Bible-centered, centered around the Bible, of a biblical nature. Faithfulness, to be faithful now to God in that manner. Even if you take only number one, the church leadership globally would have been restored. But number two, must be longer-term tenure.
Longer-term tenure.
Longer-term tenure. T-E-N-U-R-E. Can I explain that? Let me explain this to you people. Meaning, when you enter church leadership, you should look at that calling, that career track, you should look at that profession, that doing, whatever it is you call it, that pastoral, you should look at your role there in terms of long term. Not just small things, I come here today, tomorrow I'll jump out. That's what the Lord is saying. Don't look at it as something you're doing temporary. Then you don't deserve, you don't qualify. You must have a long-term projection. That's what the Lord is saying. The church leadership that is being raised here today on this red carpet here, on this tent here, on these tables here, is a church leadership that will endure until the Messiah comes. Did you understand what he's saying there? He's also saying, there is no quitting this one. He's saying he's tired of people quitting left and right. Coming is not anymore in the leadership. Okay, this time he's in the leadership again. He's saying, no. We now look for people who can go long-term. Long-term tenure. Have a tenure track. Which means, you can look behind and see your stripes. You see your experience, your history. Your record can be traced in that leadership. He's talking about building an experience in leadership in church. Not just being jumping in today, next week you are not, without experience here and there. He's saying establishing your experience in church leadership. So if you go into church leadership, he's saying, you should be able to have a projection. You say, no, I intend to be here and to build an experience to be of greater value, a resource. A resource God can use. I mentioned experience. I mentioned the building of resource, capacity building. So, no, look at this now. If you go to the companies out there, companies of the world, they say, we are looking for a manager with a minimum of 10-year experience. A manager who is seasoned, who has handled several aspects. If they're looking for pilot, they always ask a pilot with so many flight hours who has handled even distress. And that's why they prefer those from the Air Force. You see that? People who have handled distress calls, you know, they have hit distress, you know, whatever. You know, we are looking. So, meaning, they're looking for people who have built experience, people who have capacity built in them. If the world can look for that, how much the Lord? And the Lord here is being faithful. The Lord is saying this. Look, he's not saying that you should come to me with that experience. If you listen to what he's saying in number two here. He's saying, just come as you are. But please, you have a long-term projection so we can build that resource in you. So when there is an issue about the youth, we say, no, but we have youth pastor here. He does very well youth camps. And he does youth counseling very, very well. He's seasoned. That is his forte. That is his area. That is his expertise. Whatever the role you're doing in that church. When I just listened to the way she began talking, I realized, this is a resourceful person. This person you cannot dismiss. This one is experienced. Yes. I appreciate the fact that because of the fall in the other priesthood, the Lord picked people from everywhere, every marketplace. But, as he picks you now, he wants to sharpen you himself. Hallelujah. Such that now, nobody can undermine you and say, oh, you people, you didn't go to theological college. No, there's no greater theological college than that theological college of the Holy Spirit here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the teacher and counselor. Number two, if you understand why he's saying experience, make sure you have a long-term projection for that career, for that calling, for that leadership, for that position. If you look very carefully at what he's saying there, he's saying he's looking for you or people who can be able to build and develop a long-term lagging ability. Can I explain that? There is a small car and there is a tractor. A tractor can pull a huge load and for a long time just continue like that. A long-term lagging ability is built in it. And then the small car, in heavy load, something has burst from the vehicle. The ball bearings are burst or whatever. Or the bonnet has burst. Did you understand me now? The Lord, by saying, is looking for people who should have longer-term tenure track. People with long-term projection. Is meaning, he wants people who have long endurance. Did you understand that? Not people. You don't want a church where the elders, look, and I'm going to share some of those things here, where the elders are together like this, going to enjoy a meal together, celebrating, enjoying, but tomorrow when a challenge comes, they have all jumped out. Did you understand what it means, long-term enduring ability? The lagging ability. Then number two, I'm still expanding on number two. Because how about tomorrow if the owner of the land where you have built the church, if the owner of the property says tomorrow, now I don't want church here, I want to build a supermarket here. I want to build a tall building. Now will you run away from that church and look for other church? Did you understand now what the Lord is saying here? He's looking for people who can have long-term endurance, a long-term lagging ability, who can persevere with this thing until the Messiah comes. So all of you have roles. There are so many departments, right? There is the children's department, there is the youth counseling, there is the youth pastor, the worship department, security department, hospital department. There is widows, there is single mothers. There are just single mothers who have been to sin. They have now a child and they have come to Christ. We need to reach them. We need to approach them. We need to help them. If they find no attention here, they will recycle back to sin. They will say, I tried church, but I found that the bar is better than church. Because when I go to bar or the world, which is not born again, at least people come to me, pay attention to me. But I went to church, that church, nobody approached me. I went there for 3 months, not even the pastor talked to me. He didn't even know me. Every sheep wants the shepherd to know him. You want to make sure that Jesus knows you by name. Oh yes, in the same way. Confident humility. Confident humility. Huh? Where humility does not mean inconfidence. Did you understand there? Confident humility. A church leader must have confident humility. Why? Why confidence? I've mentioned two key things right there. And I told you, for each of the words I'm saying here, if you are in the spirit and you are intelligent like I know you are, you can literally pick each of the points and split it into each of the words. You can split confident. Eh? And these are the things I'm talking about. That's why I said they are essentially describing salvation. In other words, he's saying, let church leaders be born again. Hallelujah. And so, confident humility. What does he mean by that? He's talking about a clear confidence. Such that when you stand up in that docket you are given in that church, you stand up to talk about it. You have been called to announce something about your ministry, which is going to take place this coming Saturday. Or this evening, your meeting. Or the married people. You see that? The married counseling or the married people's fellowship. You see that? Or the home cells, whatever your docket is. When you stand up there in front of the church to talk, the first thing they see is a clear line of confidence. They said, wow, that person has authority. That person knows what they are doing. That person has clear confidence, meaning they are not lacking in that area. They are not weak-kneed, trembling voice. No, they have clear confidence. You see, you can see that, wow, the Lord has built this person. Hallelujah. Because in what you do and how you do it, they see the Lord. Why? Why is it important, the qualities I'm giving you? Because in whatever docket, whatever ministry you are given, in whichever, the way you do it, they will see the favor of God in your life or not. Same thing with pastoring. If a pastor is not good, then people just know that, this person does not have the favor of God. Meaning, God has not helped this person. Even the sheep that you pastor, when you just come, even look at the man of God, look at myself. When I first came, let me use my example, really. It's always good to do that, right? So you're not preaching from this way and drinking this way. Didn't you? Look at this now. When I first came, only the Holy Spirit taught me the word, the message of God. You can see the dreams and visions, but if the Lord don't teach you, how do you relay them to the people? The dreams are even complex. They're very complicated, by the way. For example, one of the dream I had this night, which I'm going to give the radio, I have to synthesize it. Because I was in Israel, and I was meeting some Israeli ambassadors. And there was a vehicle that was moving, and that vehicle, the windows were broken, but they were carrying a box. And I saw the ambassador receiving people himself in a good way. So that's a very complicated dream. And then the Lord spoke to me about rain now. Rain on the globe, rain in Kenya, rain in Israel. So it's too complicated for me to give like that. People will not understand. So God has to teach me. The Holy Spirit has to train me how to synthesize and process it and then give it to you in an acceptable way, in a manner that you can understand that the will of God be done. Because remember, I'm just a messenger, a conduit, a vessel, transmission, right? And that's why I'm saying this. Even me, when you see the way I began, all the way 2000, 2000, 2003, 2004, but you are able to see that, look, this man's ministry has grown, even by territory alone, leave alone the anointing, even the territory. It has gone to all nations, and every nation is now hungry for it. Then you say, I can see that God has helped that person. Even you, that's what I'm talking about. I'm just using my example, but I'm now talking about you. There has to be growth. There has to be spiritual growth in your docket, in your ministry, in your leadership, in your role. Did you understand? And the Lord is saying that in this point number 3 of confident, when you say confident humility, he's saying that confidence is going to be a measure of how God has helped you over time. So when you stand up and talk, they see a resource of God talking. And the other thing, compelling confidence. I said clear confidence. When I said confident humility, I divide into two. I said clear confidence. When you just stand up, look, and you stand at the altar and say, praise the Lord, church. Yeah, and then thank you. Isn't this a wonderful Sunday? I am happy to be in the house of the Lord today. Well, church, mine is very simple here because I don't want to interrupt the worship so much. Mine is very simple. I have been blessed by the Reverend here, and I thank you so much, Reverend, for allowing me to do this. That confident humility must bring forth clear confidence. Number 2, must bring forth what I call compelling, which means convincing confidence. Compelling confidence. The kind of confidence that when anybody sees, they just convinced. They say, that is truly the youth pastor. When I just hear him and see him talk, I know that is the youth pastor. I am convinced. I want my son or daughter to be there. You can also expound on humility. Meaning, when the Lord builds you and gives you that resource, that capacity to run that docket, that ministry for him, that leadership, you should not be arrogant about it. Humility, meaning, should be approachable, accessible. When they look at you, they can approach you. They want to come to you. The humility part of it is really what ices the cake. You understand? It's now what brings the confidence that you have of Christ. It now brings the character of Christ into you. That in all that Christ had, he was humble. When you are part of the church leadership, number 4, you must be able to present an Outstanding leadership. Outstanding leadership. That's another quality. So the Lord is saying, you don't just come here and say, I am part of the leadership, part of the leadership, part of the leadership. What are you doing? What is your role? And when you're saying you're part of the leadership, you are in this train, and you are now in that leadership, tell me, how better are you from other people? That's why he's saying, outstanding. To make sure that it's an obvious choice, that surely the person supposed to do the youth ministry is that person. Outstanding, meaning with distinction, meaning outmatching everybody else, right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which is also a measure of the anointing of God over you, meaning of how much God has helped you. For you to be part of a church leadership, you must express acceptance of responsibility. That's another point. Acceptance of responsibility. We don't want a church leadership that you are given something to take, and after a short while, when things go wrong, you begin to say, no, that was not me. He said, no, that happens in companies out there in town, not in the house of the Lord. Here, people are honest. If that is your responsibility, you accept it. Say, no, my responsibility from today on is going to be to take care of the security of this church. So I take the full responsibility, full, not half, full responsibility of security. That means now I can devote all my life on it, right? If my role in this church, my responsibility in this church, my role is to take care of the widows, then it is going to be my full responsibility to ensure that every widow is in my list. Even the one who came to church for the first time today. If my responsibility in this church as a leader, I'm the pastor in charge of guest arrivals, the new people in church. That means every single Sunday, if there's any new person, I know that person, I have logged them in upon their problem. Why did they come to church today? Where they have come from? What is the issue? Is there an immediate need we can solve? There is no food at home. Can we buy some 5 ungas to go with right away first as we follow them? If they go and sleep hungry, it is my responsibility. So, the number 5 I'm talking about, acceptance of responsibility. That is so key because it will help you accept the job. You first accept the job. Because first I'll tell you, your role from today is going to be to know who is the new person in this church. You just announce, you go up there, announce, well, what again, all the new people who have come for the first time, I am the pastor for the guests in this church. So please, can you meet me in this corner now after the service? And it will be a short meeting if you don't mind. Don't worry, I'm not going to delay your lunch. We're going to meet in this corner here. And it's a brief one just for me and you to know each other, that I may also bring to your attention the mission and vision of this ministry. So when you come here, now you know who we are, what we are all, what we are for, what we are up to. So thank you very much. Make sure you see me. Don't go without. And we want also to give you a welcome note. We have a welcome tract here that's written about the mission and vision of this ministry of repentance. You see all of them with their children coming to this corner. The sheep are always faithful. They will always come like this. So you have taken, you have done what you call acceptance of responsibility. You have accepted your responsibility and you have taken responsibility to ensure that every person that comes to this church never goes without being met, spoken to. Oh, me, I've come because I have a sister who is very sick in the hospital now, and I was told in this ministry there's anointing for healing, whatever. You know, so you get those issues addressed, you pray with them, you say, I'm also going to forward your prayer request to the man of God directly right now. He's going to pray for you. So they go back home with confidence as the Lord begins to work on them. Okay, number 3, unconditional love for God's people. As a leader in this ministry, as a leader in the Church of Christ, the first thing you have to display is the unconditional love of Christ to God's people. That is the Christ-likeness in you. Jesus loved us unconditionally. He loved the black us. He loved the white us. He loved the Chinese us. He loved all us, all of us. Persistence. Persistence. Meaning, I am going to that family. I'm going to do counseling with them. However long it's going to take, lagging ability now, you see where lagging ability was very powerful. I will continue on that road until one day that the wife received Jesus. I'll continue on that road until one day the husband stopped drinking. Sometimes I go there, I find he's not even there. I just meet with the wife, read scripture, encourage her, pray with her, and walk away later in the evening. Sometimes I go there, find the doors are closed. Both are not there. They didn't even tell me. You understand? And you have to persist. Jesus, the Lord, was persistent even in the worst form, the worst condition that hit him. Meaning, if you're given a ministry, however challenging it is, if you're given a role, however challenging that role is, please ensure that you persist in there. Mungu too, the Lord himself knows why he has given you that role. You might be looking, the children's ministry is flourishing, it's going well, the numbers are increasing. You're looking this side, the youth ministry is doing well. But for you, this widow's ministry or married couple's ministry, whatever it is, you see it's stagnating. Don't ever give up. That's what he's saying. There is no giving up if you're a church leader. The church outside there has fallen because they gave up. And that persistence will help in church growth. Number one. Number eight. It will help in church growth. Which means you will persist in that docket such that when it finally makes a breakthrough, it will join the others that are growing, so the church will grow uniform now. That persistence must also cause you to learn to develop your docket, your leadership, your role, step by step. Meaning the Lord is using that persistence, that delay in growth, to teach you that things here are done step by step. Every step you finish, you say, at least I learned something there. Yes, I'm now on another step. Again, I just continue with this. When I manage through with this, where now we have 10 cells in this area, 10 home cells, I have also learned something in that step. Then move to another step again. Step by step. So there is no jumping here. Hallelujah. Amen. Meaning, hala hala, corruption is not godly. I went there and that ministry grew whoop at once. I did not learn the molding of God. I did not learn what it means to wake up 3 a.m. pray for church every day. I did not learn what it means to call people, hello, praise the Lord, this is your pastor. I just wanted to follow up on you. How did you like the service today? I saw you in church today. Was that your sister? What, following members of church, trying to connect with them, doing the duro, the heavy job. If the church grew, whoop, you have missed these steps here of building the pillars of the church, where the pastor has to connect his heart with the sheep, his fiber with them, where they have to connect with him. They hear his voice, eh? They say, oh, yes, Pastor, thank you for calling us. That is so kind of you, Pastor. Yes, in fact, that sister of mine, she needed prayers in her house. Her children are drinking. So I thank God you've called. When can we tell Pastor? And they say, oh, then that is the case. I'm glad I called. I see my calendar. Wednesday is open. What time are they available? You see that now. You are learning to build church. The third aspect of this number seven, the persistence, it says, never give up. The Lord is teaching you never to give up. That one I wrote already, I said already, right? Jesus never gave up until he made it, right? One of the other qualities of a church leadership, a church leader, is to learn to always leave a lasting legacy. Can I repeat that? That point is called a lasting legacy. Meaning, as you begin your work there, I am a police officer, I am posted in Nairobi, and now I've gone to this church, and they have made me the youth pastor. So, before my next transfer to go to Mwingi or to go to Kakamega, what legacy have I left there? Did you understand me now? Learn to leave a lasting legacy, meaning something people can look to, can look at and say, wow, so-and-so was here. He was given such a ministry. Look what he established. Serving God is not a joke. It's not something you just go there for part-time, huh? You know, just pocketing, huh? No! It is heavier than the other job. And he's saying, this number 8, desire for a lasting legacy. Make sure your desire in that leadership role is that at the end of the day, you leave there a lasting legacy. Even your other jobs, you always want to know that when you moved as a banker from this bank to the next bank, you can look back and see the sons you trained. Even in the other jobs. How much more in the work of Christ should you look back and say, wow, I thank God, I am blessed. You never say proud here, right? Here you never say proud, you say I'm humbled, you know? You say, I am so blessed that the Lord used me to establish that because I keep receiving phone calls. Pastor, you are in Kakamega, but you remember the youth group you started. This youth group, I have calculated, on average, this past month, the evangelism team you started have won 1,000 souls to the kingdom. This past 1 month. And now we are even larger, so I don't know what next month will be. So you look back and say, wow. So when I was doing that thing and I did it perfectly, and I wanted to leave a legacy, now look at the lasting legacy. It goes straight into the kingdom of God. Desire for a lasting legacy. Make sure you have that desire. In everything you do, you want to leave a legacy. When you're given a young man to train, you want to impart. You want to leave a long-lasting impact on the life of that young man. A foundation that when he goes wherever, university, outside, job, that foundation, you can look at him and say, these are the sons I raised when I was pastor there. That's why even in that bank when he went, he started a Bible study group. And he's preaching righteousness and talking about dressing. Huh? Anyone in church leadership must have this other quality. And this quality is this. You must be outwardly focused in your mission. Let me write it. Outwardly, that's the meaning of that point. Outwardly focused in your vision or in your mission. Can I repeat that? Outwardly focused in your mission, in your vision. Why? Look, meaning, if I am given a job to do, a role in this church to do, my vision and mission must be outwardly focused. Why? Evangelism. To reach more. With this role I've been given, how can I reach more? With this role I've been given, whether it's just counseling for married or couples, right? Or just fellowship of the married in church, the marriage ministry, or the single widows, or the single mothers, whatever. How can I incorporate even more other single mothers who are out, who are not members of this church? And in the process, I will infuse Jesus into them. Make sure you are outwardly focused in your vision, in your mission. The other quality that a church leader, anyone in church leadership must have, is called be an I can do person. I'm saying, have a positive perspective, positive attitude towards your role. That's all I'm saying. Positive perspective. But I turned it around to you and I said, be an I can do person. Say, I want to bring the tent here. Who can do? Pastor, I can do it. I want to go and approach people in hospitals who are sick so we can evangelize to them. Okay, Pastor, I can do that. Be that kind, I can do. That is powerful. That is the most powerful thing you can have. Because even however difficult the cross was, Jesus said, I can do it for you. Huh? Where it involved really crucifying his body. You see that? So, be an I can do person. Meaning, have a positive attitude. Positive perspective to the roles you are given. When you have that, God will always faithfully help you. Because he will see your mind. He will see your longing to succeed. He will see your attitude. And he will always help you. Point 11 says, this is not your job. This is your life. Don't say I have a job in church. I have this role in church. I need to go to church. It's bothering me these days. It's becoming heavy. I don't know. I need to talk to the pastor, whatever. Eh? You are doing it like a mundane. So the next point says, this is not your job. This is your life. Do it like it is your life. In fact, do it as your life. And then you will always find that that job is part of you. That task is part of you. That leadership role is just part of your life. Anytime you reach home, you find phone calls. And it's okay. Hello, praise the Lord. Yes, I've just arrived home. I saw your missed call. Yes, yeah. So tell me, how can I pray with you today? So you are available. It's part of your life. You have incorporated it into your life. Amen. The problem that the church leadership has today, they have divided their role for the Lord and their other role, life. And that's why when I go abroad, I rebuke them because I find that pastors abroad, when I reach, some of them have gone for vacation in the beaches of Australia, beaches of New Zealand, beaches of Argentina, in the beaches, meaning they are also nude like the other people there. Meaning, this is my role as a pastor, this is now my life here. Ah! Have you seen the fall? Have you seen that fall? But if you are this principle here, this is not my job, this is my life. Then, first of all, there will be no vacation from that job. There will be no vacation from that role. That no. I just need some time for myself. This time, I'm not accepting anything else. I really need something. I need time out. Now again, you've separated it from your life. The other point says what? I will serve the Lord with gladness. I will always serve the Lord gladly. Meaning whatever role you are given, make sure you serve the Lord with gladness. I am glad I've been given this opportunity to worship here, to serve here. I am glad I've been given this opportunity. I am glad I've been given this opportunity. The other quality that a church leader, a church leadership, church leader must have, empowerment of others. You must make sure you empower others. In whatever role you are given, you empower others. You give others the power to do it also. You delegate, which means you are discipling. You are raising four sons and daughters, right? Hallelujah. The other quality of church leadership, a church leader is that not a gossiper. Gossip is sin, evil. That's what the Lord is saying here. Another thing about a church leader is that they must bring those around them, listen to me now, those around them on this journey. Meaning whoever it is you are working with, whoever it is you are with, even at your workplace, you must bring them on this journey on the highway of holiness. That is powerful. That is actually evangelizing and is also living as an example, right? Yeah, meaning you can pull people. That's a gift now. You can pull people with it. In, by the way, in management, that is also a principle in management. in management, they say, to be able to work with them and yet show leadership, meaning recruit them, work with them, but lead them in a given objective, direction. You understand? To achieve direction. You see that? My spirituality must be attractive. Did you understand now? So we are not just talking about some material ways of doing things. It has to be deeply embedded into your spirituality. So when people look at your spirituality, so I wish I can serve the Lord like this man. Integrity. Church leadership must have integrity, meaning you are above board and you are beyond reproach. Church leadership must have exemplary character. Church leadership must have excellent communication skills. Church leadership must show endurance and perseverance. Those two together. Remember, persistence. Persistence was another. But I'm saying endurance and perseverance, meaning when there is a rough situation, you can endure in there. Huh? Even when the pastor is rebuking you, during that whole month, the pastor is rebuking you, you've not done your things right, you must endure in there. So that at the end, you are processed out as refined. If you go half-baked, how will you be of use? Eh? Church leadership must show patience. That's 21. Church leadership must show courage, must show strength. Church leadership must exhibit boldness, which means you must be bold on matters of God. Sometimes you know you're going to affect them. You're going, no, but you just have to tell this Indian couple that, no, even if we are friends and you want me to help your child, but there are no two gods, only Jesus is Lord. Yes. So please. No. I now want to help your son because I've helped many sons in this city. But please, stop worshipping idols. That's a piece of wood. Boldness. At the risk of losing the relationship, right? A church elder must show the ability to inspire people, meaning to move with them in that direction, to recruit them to move in that objective. And that includes the following. Must be a team builder. To inspire people. You see that? And a team worker. Huh? Team builder, team worker. Church leadership must be purpose driven. You must be driven by the objectives of this ministry. Purpose driven in your leadership role. Meaning, he's saying you must be goal oriented. The goal of this docket is to have as many youth know Christ. If you're a youth pastor. Didn't you? So, in whatever you do, you are goal-oriented. You are oriented towards that goal of achieving the goal of having many, many, many young men in schools, all high schools in this Nairobi, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Huh? I said goal-oriented and must have a clear vision eventually. A clear vision, goal-oriented with a clear vision. Those are all together. Must be goal-oriented and clear vision to be purpose-driven. Did you understand? Huh? Church leadership must show enthusiasm. Must be enthusiastic. How will you inspire others when you're not enthusiastic? And to be enthusiastic, I want to mention the following two things, you know. You must be zealous to be enthusiastic. And you must be passionate about your role, what you are doing. Hallelujah. Church leadership must be forgiving. Why? Because I said ministry can be messy, right? Church leadership, I mentioned, now the next one must be compassionate. You remember, passionate is different. Compassionate, you know? Loving. Now, the next point is loving. Must be loving. The next one must be sensitive to the needs of God's people. Must be sensitive to the needs of God's people. Church leadership must be born again. Church leadership must be spirit-filled. Church leadership must be worth following. An example others can follow. Worth following. Church leadership must remain steadfast. Church leadership must be willing to learn. Church leadership must be willing to lead also. church leadership must display patience that I've mentioned, must challenge followers so they can move on even faster. Church leadership must place energy into others, must be blameless, must not be overbearing. That's another point. Church leadership must not be quick to temper, must not give in to drunkenness. Church leadership must not be violent, must be honest. Another point, must be hospitable. Another point, must be lover of good. Someone who just loves good, doing good to others. What is good is holy, of course, the Lord, right? Must be self-controlled, must be upright, must be disciplined. May the Lord bless you.